Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are gonna move. We are gonna answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, and away we go. On a podcast on a, well, Tuesday. I do apologize for yesterday. Connor Green, not Connor Hughes, had no idea how to post it, therefore we didn't do it. So Al is back, Rami's back, so we're good. Al, how are you?
Interesting. Oh, hi there, Jerry.
What up?
So there's this, now you certainly don't have to watch the series to get into the topic, but there's a documentary series on Netflix now called Worst Neighbor Ever. And then each episode is a different kind of mini documentary about somebody who had a terrible neighbor. It is interesting that we, you know, how expensive homes are now.
Yeah.
And you never check what, you know, what the neighbors are like, do you?
I did once.
Only
one time.
How did you do that?
Before we bought the house we're in now, there was a house for sale in not the same neighborhood I grew up in, but close to it.
All right.
And I liked the land it had. It was a nice house. I was very bothered, though. So the house to the left,
right?
The house to the left, well-kept, really nice. The house to the right was a mess. Nice house. No upkeep. And there was an old trailer in the driveway. The garage was like kind of broken. It didn't go all the way down to the ground. And I remember saying to my wife, we really like the house. I remember saying to my wife, do we not buy a house because the neighbors look kind of messy?
Disheveled, they're not keeping up with the house.
So I scoped it out a couple of times and it looked unorganized. I saw them come out for work. The one guy had, the shirt was all over he was a slob. I'm like, no, it's the only time I've ever done that. Now, had the house looked normal, they could have been the same people. I wouldn't have thought twice. I think we would have bought the house. The house looked awful, and they represented exactly the way the house looked. Mm. It's the only time in my life I've ever done that.
Yeah, because a lot of times you'll drive through a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, if you really like the house, they even say, drive through the neighborhood at when it gets dark,
sure,
when it's light, so you can see everything, see what. But you never know who's living in the houses right next door to you or across the street.
Right.
And there could be a time when you have a problem with your neighbor. That's got to be a horrendous way to go about life. Because, I mean, this series that's on Netflix, of course, is way over the top.
They're the extremes.
It's like a neighbor shooting a neighbor, you know what I mean? Or a neighbor throwing bricks through their window every night for 2 years. Like, it's extreme insanity.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, like, and I've multiple times now lived in condos. I'm really rolling
the
dice.
They're right on top of you.
You are really rolling the dice if you don't have good neighbors.
I told you, the strippers that moved in there when we lived in the townhouse.
And those were good neighbors, you were saying.
They were fine.
Hubba hubba.
But they were loud.
Oh, loud strippers, yeah.
And they were loud. And when I say loud, it just meant music was playing. They clearly were having, I don't want to say parties, but they were people over.
They had off hours compared to you.
And that was starting at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And for me, I was working overnights. I didn't deal with it. My wife dealt with it. And there were nights I come home, she couldn't sleep because it was just, the party was going on. And it wasn't every night, but it was enough. We wound up moving because of it. So you're right. You're rolling the dice when you buy a connected home that's got the same walls, basically.
I'm surprised as someone who does a lot of research on everything that I never
hired PIs.
Yeah, I never really fully thought that through when I've bought condos.
Interesting.
Like I said, I've had very good luck with neighbors.
Yeah, and I have too.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And that's probably the norm.
I would hope so. Because while we joke that most people suck, most people are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's the same old thing. The one spoiled apple ruins the life. I mean, and that is very true. It's the same thing on social media. You get 50 very nice comments. One guy thinks you're the worst, human being on the planet, and you seem to focus on that for whatever reason.
Right.
So I do agree. These are extremes, and I would think most people are okay.
Yeah.
And in my case, even going back to being a kid, we had very good neighbors. I don't ever remember a time my dad having or my mom having an issue with anybody nearby.
Yeah, I remember too. Yeah, same thing. Like growing up, we'd be playing football in the street and footballs be bouncing off cars. Yeah. Wiffle balls be bouncing off cars. Wiffle balls be going over the other neighbor's yard.
Sure.
Into the tree across the... And never was anyone a douche.
No. If you were kids, they were fine with it. At least in my experience.
Yeah. I had a couple times where I had, as I was an adult, with a car in a parking lot, and kids were playing sports out there, and luckily I always had cars I didn't care about, but I was always like, payback time. Look whose car's now out in the parking lot, and kids are throwing wiffle balls and footballs all over the place and throwing snowballs all over the place.
I made one significant error in my life growing up as a kid. I did not lie to my parents often. I just didn't. And one time I did, it almost, really backfired on me pretty good. We were playing basketball in the driveway. And you know the whole Brady Bunch, mom always said, you don't play ball in the house, whatever the hell that was. So we were playing basketball in the driveway, but no one had moved my mom's car. And we knew you do not play in the driveway unless they move the car into the street, or at least move it way back. So, of course, an errant pass went through my brother's hand and broke my mom's taillight. Now, the neighbors across from us were very nice people, but their son was kind of like a wild card. He was a little older. He was out late. He wore the leather jacket, so he didn't have the best.
He was a cool guy.
Turned out to be fine, but, whatever. As a 9-year-old, what did we know? So I said to my brother, who was panicking, I'm like, don't worry, we'll just tell mom and dad that, Jimmy threw a rock at us, and it hit the taillight. So we went with that. The next day, my dad clearly knew we were making it up. The next day, a man shows up in a suit, and he calls me and my brother down. He's like, I'd like you to meet Mr. So-and-so. He's an attorney we hired. We're going to sue, I'm not going to say their name, but across the street. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, they owe us money for the light. I asked them. They said they didn't do it, so we're taking them to court. You want to talk about, I think I was 9, like soiling yourself very quick. I came clean so quick, and as it turned out, the man was my uncle's friend who just came over.
In a suit. That was smart.
Very funny. Well played by my dad.
Well, you'd fold if you were ever picked up by the cops and they had you in one of those rooms with the camera and the light on
interrogation.
You. Interrogation room.
Oh, my God. Well, if you're guilty, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
If I didn't do it, though, or had a rock really been thrown, I might have been like, let's go get the bastard. But that wasn't what happened.
Do you believe in any of these nonverbal things that they say people do when they lie? I've been trying to, as far as, you touch
the
your
tells.
Face. Yeah, a lot of times people will touch their face.
Yeah, that's probably very true.
And keeping that in mind, now whenever I watch these, documentary shows and the police have the people, suspects in these rooms.
Sure.
And they'll be like, well, where were you Tuesday? You said you were at the supermarket. We didn't see on the camera. Yeah, it was definitely, and they're scratching their forehead. No, it was definitely at the supermarket.
Yeah, they're like what? They're behavioral scientists, right?
Yeah.
Where they can study the way your tendencies and the way your body reacts to certain news or events.
Yeah, so I've been watching it a lot on these shows now where because of the documentary, the person's guilty and seeing how much they touch their face.
Yeah.
When they're having a conversation with the police, when they're claiming their innocence.
Yeah, it's probably my guess would be a nervous tic. You're subconsciously trying to figure out what to say or how to react, and you end up just,
I wonder if there's others, nonverbal cues when you're lying.
I think you go to school for that.
Yeah, I think so. All right, hold on, Jerry. Let me see. I want to get some of these people. It says subtle movements that contradict spoken words, such as a slight head shake no while saying yes.
Yes.
I did watch one time in pro wrestling, Jerry. Are you familiar with the great manager, Captain Lou Albano?
Of course.
So Captain Lou Albano was caught potentially in a lie, Jerry, and they hooked him up to a lie detector test.
I think I remember.
And his way of trying to beat the test would, he would say yes, but shake his head no. He would do the opposite to try to beat the test. It did That's not fun. Work. Self-soothing. People will grooming behavior, such as playing with your hair, touching the face or neck, or licking lips due to nervous tension.
Hmm.
Unconscious attempts to create physical distance, such as hiding your hands under a table. Hmm, all these. I'd love to get a degree in this.
You got time?
When, Jerry?
You got plenty of time.
All I have is 8 hours a day.
You could get a degree just doing it from studying from home.
Imagine I became an expert at nonverbal.
Yes, I could.
Oh, man, I just be he's lying. He's
you
lying.
Remember we had the guy that was our tape op back in the day? And he was it Nick? Remember Nick?
Columbo?
Yes.
Yeah.
And very quietly, he was going to law school.
Yeah, he just became a lawyer all of a sudden.
If you told me all of a sudden next week, yeah, I just graduated. I'm going to be a behavioral scientist starting Monday. This is my last day. I would not be shocked.
Oh, yeah, Jerry, I've been doing this all afternoon, right. In the afternoons for a couple of years.
You joke. You got plenty of time.
Hmm. That'd be cool to be an expert at that.
It would be.
You'd be booked on talk shows.
You'd be called, yeah, and you'd be called in for a lot of big cases, I would think.
Yeah.
And needed, too.
Yep.
Be pretty wild.
And you'd be able to like go on TV like when there's big cases going on, like when the Mark Sanchez trial, whenever that finally goes.
Yeah, right.
You'd be like, see him touching his face, touching his neck.
Have you ever seen the show Bull?
No.
With Michael Weatherly?
Mm-mm.
So it's a show about behavior. Like that's a big part of it, and reading body language. And it's really interesting. I don't know that what they do is really legal. I mean, the whole idea is when they're trying to pick a jury, they have cameras and they can see the jury and they can kind of read their facial expressions and they look into their backgrounds. And he's got an earpiece in and his team is telling him, no, you don't want that guy. Look what he just did. He touched his eye, which means he's not interested in this. So it's kind of what you're talking about. I wonder if you would be interested. I know you don't like TV shows, but I wonder if a show like that, it doesn't run anymore. It'd be on reruns. I think it ended like 4 or 5 years ago. But if you'd be interested in a show like that.
Yeah, I would like to see what's going on.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I'd like to be an expert at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned before, you said one bad apple spoils the bunch.
Yeah.
Do you know where that came from? Nope. I actually looked this up.
I don't.
And stores have to be careful about this. So if ShopRite has all their apples out.
Right.
And there's a spoiled apple in there, it sends a signal to the other apples to spoil.
Really? As a defense mechanism?
Something like that, where it's sending the signal. That's why you got to get it out of there, or it will send the spoil signal to the other apples.
Mm, that's pretty wild.
And an apple will touch its face when it's lying. Also,
spreads like a virus. Yes, exactly.
An apple will be like this. Liar.
I guess you got to be careful. Make sure you look what's in there before you, because I wonder if there's a spoiled one under, if you take it home, does it spoil? Because I have bought.
Yeah. It'll spoil your apples at home.
I have bought produce that spoils much quicker than it should.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
One bad apple spoils the bunch.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you Google things like this, it'll pop up.
That is very true.
Hmm.
Very true.
Yep. You think you could beat a lie detector test if you had to?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know that I couldn't, but if you asked me to pick, I would say probably not.
But people thought that O.J. Simpson convinced himself that he didn't commit the murders and that he would have passed the lie detector
test. Because he would have been speaking his truth.
Yeah, like he talked himself into believing he didn't.
I could see that.
Kill those people.
Isn't it weird? I don't know why I was thinking of this the other day, but this is, I guess, deep thought. What happened yesterday is gone. He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could have done something yesterday that could put you in jail.
Yes.
Even though, like, it's over and done. Like I was telling you on the air about the 40-year-old cold case that was solved. I think it was Ohio, but I don't remember. Like that guy. Likely, it certainly seems like it from the evidence that they realized they had with the new scientific testing and the DNA and all that. That guy did something 40 years ago so horrific that he's going to end up going to jail now in 2026 or 2027. he's probably lived the last 40 years clearly with a lie, but probably convinced himself that either he didn't do it or what he did wasn't as bad as maybe someone would think, and went on to live this life that all of a sudden is now going to come back to grab him. It's wild. Like when you see the old Nazi soldiers that have lived lives here and have raised families here, and they get picked up at the age of 88 and put in jail.
Yeah, like, weren't you a Nazi soldier?
Right,
what,
Craig,
was
right?
I? I don't...
It's wild.
Yeah, I do think about that when, especially anytime I see something where somebody did something that changed their life and somebody else's life for the negative when they were drunk or high, because they're not going to even remember it.
Yeah.
And you've destroyed multiple lives. And you're like, you've got to wake up every day going, did I really do that? Because I was drunk.
Yeah, and to your point about not even remembering it, it's like your body took that action. Your mind wasn't in the right frame of mind, and you committed a heinous act that you mentioned can, you know, affect multiple people. It is probably dozens of people when it starts to, you know, spread, when you talk about the family of your family, what they're going to go through now, you personally, you might end up in prison. The people you hurt or harmed directly, their parents or brothers or sisters or cousins, it impacts a lot of people.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, did it really happen? Yes, it did.
And you can't go back.
No, you can't.
Man.
Unless you find the DeLorean from Dr. Brown.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Space-time continuum.
Yep, exactly.
Get out that way, Jerry.
Look at you. Why is there gnats in the studio?
I don't know. We have big flies in the other studio,
brutal,
too. I do wonder where bugs, you know, like if you leave a raw piece of meat out.
Yeah.
What are those white things called? Those maggots? Yeah. Maggots will show up.
Yeah, I don't know where they come from. I don't know.
Do they just come from, like, spoiled meat? Does the spoiled meat produce the maggot?
Create them?
Or does the spoiled meat bring a fly that lays the maggot egg?
So you just said Google anything, right? Where do maggots come from?
Also, by the way, growing up, did you used to call your friends or people you were yelling at maggots?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Maggots come from fly eggs.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, adult flies are attracted to the odors of rotting meat, garbage, pet waste, and overripe produce. They quickly lay clusters of eggs in warm weather, and the eggs hatch into maggots in as little as 12 hours.
Okay, so you have some meat outside in the sun, a fly lands on it, lays an egg, maggots show up.
Yes.
Ugh. No one calls anyone a maggot anymore.
No. Well, there's a lot of things that we said as kids that we don't say anymore.
Yeah, but maggot's not offensive.
Oh, no, I know.
You know what I mean? It's not like a racially offensive.
It's just, no, not at all. It's just, or sexually offensive. It's just a word that just kind of went away.
Maggot.
Yeah.
You know what? To me, it was one of the wrestling managers, Freddie Blassie, used to call people maggots. That's probably where I got it from.
Probably. I remember in school, that was a big one.
Maggots?
Yes. That was a big one. For whatever reason.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what other big ones were in school.
I don't think you can say a lot of
other
them.
Other than, a lot of gay slang.
Wimp was a big one.
Wimp was a great one.
As a kid. No one wanted to be
such
known as a
wimp.
Yes. That is true. I was told when I was in third or fourth grade, talking about peer pressure, third or fourth grade, I remember one of my friends telling me, you know, you've never gotten into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to think you're a wimp.
You better start something.
So they created a fight for me.
Well, they're trying to save you from being
so
a wimp or a maggot.
Honestly. Whoa. That's right.
We did something in school, and I did not participate in this, but friends
you
of mine
participate
did.
Participate in a lot of school.
Correct. This one, there was something called the wimp test.
Okay.
Which was, and this would happen during lunch, a girl with a long fingernail. A guy would make a fist and put his hand down so that the top of his fist was exposed, like I'm showing you here.
Yeah.
And then a girl would sit across with a long nail and just do this, scratch the same area.
Ooh.
And just
until
keep going.
The skin ripped off?
And then just get until you told her to stop.
So how did you pass the test?
I guess whoever could go long. And then you'd see these guys walking around with big scabs
really?
On their hands, like right over near here, I'm showing on the video, where the wimp test scab would be. My friend Kenny Blum he passed to me. He passed the WIMP test because he had a big.
That would never made it to our school.
No?
No, and let's hope it never makes it to this show.
Jerry, get in here. We're doing the WIMP test. All right, get in here.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, that's a new one. I've never heard of that one. Hmm. Yeah, that was a Colonia school one.
Colonia High School, yeah.
Not down in Monmouth County. We weren't doing that.
Didn't make it down there?
No, thankfully.
What were you guys pushing around a paper football while we were busy doing the WIMP test?
We were. Yeah, we were. We were playing. Yeah. Yeah, we were. We did that. That's true.
Hmm. Did you ever do the thing where you would put your elbow up like this and stack coins?
No.
And then try to grab it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. I was never good at that.
I think that was from like Happy Days.
I do remember that.
You'd stack all the things.
That is so funny that you just brought up Happy Days.
Yeah.
I mean, are you serious? So last night when I decided I had enough of the World Cup and the Mets and the Yankees, it was later than I usually go to bed. It was like 9:30.
Okay.
I put on YouTube, and why this came up on my feed, I have no idea. I haven't watched any old sitcoms on YouTube, nothing. Someone posted Richie saying goodbye to his family, and he was moving with Lori Beth out to California. He had a mustache and everything. And it was 4 minutes. It was the final scene. And his dad gave him a blank check, and his dad was all... That's hilarious.
I don't remember that at all.
And then Fonzie came in and gave him like money and told him he loved him, and it was like.
So that's how the series ended.
It said the scene where Richie leaves for California. I don't know if that was the final scene of the show or if the show continued. I know a lot of the Happy Days episodes. I don't know if that was the end of it or not.
It says Happy Days concluded in 1984.
Okay.
May. With the highly emotional episode Passages, which featured Joni and Chachi's wedding and Fonzie adopting a son.
You're kidding me. Wow. I feel like I remember the Joni and Chachi wedding. I don't remember Fonzie adopting a son.
It said the show ended on a meta note.
What does that mean?
Like, you'll see. When Howard Cunningham broke the fourth wall to thank the viewers at home for being part of their family. Meta.
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure what meta means.
Me neither.
Andrew Bogish one time said something that was, used the word meta, that was very hilarious to me.
Okay.
The one time I came out into the hallway and I saw Marash and D.A. Damon, who did a show together.
Yes.
They were taping something. I go to Andrew, I go, what are they taping in there? He goes, a podcast. I go, what's it about? He goes, it's about the show. I go, they have a show together and they're doing a podcast about the show. He goes, yeah, it's very meta. And that made me understand what that meant. Almost like
I'm not even sure. I'm still not even sure what it means. Very mid.
No, people just, like to no, say. No. Like it's a thing about the thing.
Okay, a thing about the thing.
Hold Sounds on. What right. does meta mean? Referring to itself in the self-referential. Self of a creative work referring to itself.
Okay.
So the DA show doing a show about the DA show would be very meta.
Very meta. All right. Sounds good to me.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days.
Tuesday,
Fonzie
Wednesday. Fonzie
adopting
happy
a son. I got to now watch this.
And Jump the Shark is from that show,
yes,
right?
Where
when
Fonzie.
He jumped over the sharks, they say the show went the other way.
Yeah, like what are we doing now? Yes. Fonzie's jumping sharks.
I did like it when he had to take the motorcycle over all the barrels.
Yes.
That was cool.
Remember, Fonzie also couldn't apologize.
Yes, I do remember.
He'd
that.
Go, I'm.
I still cannot believe that Henry Winkler, what a nice man.
So nice.
That he is. And when he was in here that day, like, this
so
is
pleasant.
He was such a nice guy.
Yes, yeah, so nice.
Not that I thought he wouldn't be nice, but like soft spoken.
Yes.
Just like everybody's grandpa.
Yes.
He was lovely.
Henry
That's so
Winkler.
Funny.
The great Henry Winkler, Jerry.
Yes, exactly.
All right, let's do the warm-up program. Now, I did that this morning with Sela because you were in for Gio. Tomorrow, same thing.
Yes.
I got Sela. You're
got
in
no
for
World
Gio.
Cup.
And no World Cup to talk about. You better hope the Mets do something crazy.
Do you win?
Just, you know, here's what you do, Jerry. This will be like a little secret between us and the podcast
audience.
Just start asking Boomer a bunch of uncomfortable question. See if he touches his face and we'll know when he's lying.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Funny. All right.
All right, Jerry, warm-up show is next. I did that with CeeLo. See ya!
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Meola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.